I want you to go to Colossians 3:20. We've been talking about homework. And I'm telling you, that song, Sarah, was so spot on that y'all did today. This just amazing, because I'm believing that there's a perpetuation of the blessing of God coming on people who will follow Jesus with their whole heart. Amen? Amen. Y'all going to have to help me preach a little bit. I think I just shouted my voice out. To help your pastor, amen. Help your pastor out. But we've been talking about homework, of doing what the Word of God says as it relates to our home. And when the home, we do our home works. Our communities work, our nations works. And church, here's the bottom line. You and I have to be the leaders in this. Don't expect people who don't know Jesus to act like Jesus. Don't expect them to act like Jesus. You're a Jesus follower. And the only way to know how to make it work is, what does His Word say? And you experience unity, joy in your family, peace in your family, relationships, and you have respect and honor in the household. So Pastor Carey, he did talking about how do we elevate that office of wives. I talked about elevating that office of husbands. What is that? So today, how many of you children want to be blessed? You want to be blessed? Want to be blessed, or you just want to be, man, I just live life just by default? No, I want you to be blessed, and I want you to hear this. Colossians 3:20, verse 21. Children, always obey your parents. Mom and Dad, this is a good time to wake little Throckmorton up and get him up, okay? Get him from behind all the sugar-coated frosty flakes and have him sit down for a moment. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, don't aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. I want our kids to be empowered. Now, I know some of you are already tuning out because you said, I just got my AARP card this week. I'm out. Look at your neighbor and say this. We are children of God. Amen. There's 6 feet behind you. You can say to the person 6 foot behind you, let me say, we are children of God. And you can be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Oh, praise God. How many glad you came to the house of God today, amen? How many glad you came to the house of God over there at home, amen? Amen. So when I say children, I know that some of you start tuning out. You say, ah, yeah, I'm 18 now. That's for my 13-year-old snot-nosed little brother. Who are the children of God? Who are they? Can I tell you that when I talk about children, this is not limited to a specific age group? Now, technically, this refers technically, when he's talking about this, technically, it refers to any child of any parent that still lives in the home and under the guidance and the authority of their parents. Now, if that's too long of something for you to remember, here's the deal. If you're living in their house and they're paying your bills and they're floating you, you need to listen to them. Man, parents, you just blew a great opportunity to say amen. But see, hear that. That refers, technically, that's what it refers to. But here's what I don't want you doing, is when I invoke the word children, that you put it to your 12-year-old, your 13-year-old, because you cannot tune this out. Because you are children of Father God. You are children. And in fact, if you see a culture in disarray that disrespects, it could be related to our own disobedience as children of God to the Father ourselves. I'm preaching better than y'all letting on. Amen. So this is a spiritual truth that relates to you. It relates to our culture. It relates to our nation. This relates because when we hear this, technically it refers to that. So I want anyone that's living under that house, in that authority, under that umbrella, you're getting their guidance, you're living under that. that technically refers to you, but I want you to hear this as what God says he expects of the heart of the children of God. So let's talk about this. What is the expectation for a child? Let's talk about that, because some of you are under your parents' home. You're getting their guidance. You're eating their food. They're paying your bills. Selah. Okay. What does this mean? Now, first of all, can I just tell you, your parents are not perfect. So, see, I finally got an amen over there. Your parents are not perfect, but you do have a perfect God, Father God. You may think your Father God is imperfect because of the model of your imperfect father, and I'll deal with that in just a moment, or mother. And I will tell you this, whether you're a teenager, 19, 18, still living in your home, and you're 20 years old, whatever, I will tell you, as the older you get, you will find faults. At 5 years old, they're a hero. Start turning 13 years old, you're gonna find faults, especially as you get older. And my encouragement to you is when you're frustrated with the directive of your parents, or you're frustrated about a situation with your parents, try to talk to them about a level of frustration. Whether you agree or disagree with them, talk to your parents, but that is not your primary role. That's not your primary role. The problem is people lose mission in their life, and when you lose mission in life, you fluctuate with your friends, what they say, what the culture says, and you lose your main mission and purpose in life. So you say, Pastor, what is it? You need to know the one thing God is expecting of you as it relates to you being under that roof of authority. What does it mean? God has one expectation, and here it is. God expects you to honor your parents by obeying them. Now, I know that is so counterculture right now, but I promise you, you'll have that blessing that we sang about on your children and your children. You will experience the awesome power and favor and blessing of God. Anytime God gives me a directive, there's something great he has for me. Am I telling the truth, church? Am I telling the truth, everybody? Amen? That whenever God asks you for something, there's this great blessing, because I have discovered that obedience, first of all, pleases God. Before I please my parents when I was raised in their home, my first objective was, am I pleasing God? And as you get out from under your home, my question is still the same. Are you pleasing the Father who's given you a directive, and you're 89 years old? Are you still pleasing him by following his directive or not? Oh, Selah. And when I obey, here's what I've discovered. Blessings come into my life in a powerful way. And I'm going to even talk to some of you why blessings may not be coming into your life. And it may be directly to lack of honor that you are showing, directly related to it. So if obedience brings blessing into my life, then dishonor. If I honor God brings blessing in my life, then dishonor lifts the blessing off of me. Did you hear what I said? Dishonor starts lifting the blessing off of you. So when I tell you, when I talk about family, sometimes singles will just tune out and go, well, I'm not married, so this doesn't mean I'll get that later. Here's the deal. All of these principles from the Word of God affect you now as a single person, as a child, right now. And remember what I said. If you're looking at the nation, the family is a microcosm of what's happening in the family around this nation. Listen closely. So goes the person, so goes the family, so goes the family, so goes the nation. So if you want to know why you see blessing lifting off of a person, lifting off of a family, lifting off of a nation, it is directly to the point of lack of honor and respect. You want the blessing to come on you as an individual teenager, as a young adult? Then start learning to honor and bless the Lord, and even put in context why God placed the office of a mother and a father in my home, and my obedience to it brings that blessing and favor on my life. So here's the deal. For all of you that want to tune out sometimes, like I live by myself. No, you're a child of God. You're a child of the Father. So literally what's happening here for young adults and teenagers, can I tell you that right now what's happening, the reason why you're under your mother and your father, or you're being raised by a single parent and you're underneath that, can I tell you what's happening right now? You are literally being trained to be a great parent. That's really what was happening. You are literally right now, 16 years old, you don't realize it, but you are literally being trained to be the most awesome parent that our culture needs to see. And how many thank God for all the young men and young ladies that are in this room and at home watching right now. Come on, we ought to thank God for them right now. All of the young people that are here in this house wanting to be trained to be great parents. So if I give you 2 points in this whole message, okay, here's number one. Ready for this? The first thing is you need to heed your parents. Heed your parents. Now look at what he says in Colossians 3:20. He says, children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Now, what does it mean to obey? I've said that word, but what does it mean? I'm going to break it down even more. What does it mean? Okay, when you see the word obey, this is not the same word that Paul used in verse 18 that Pastor Kerry talked about last week, where it says, wives, submit to your husband. This is not the same Greek word that is used to children. When you look at that verse, that word submit, it literally it suggests a voluntary submission of giving myself, and the husband's voluntary submission giving himself to the Lord and to his wife. It is a mutual of I give myself in voluntary submission to the Lord. But when you come to this word of obey, this word obey that God gives now in verse 20 is a command. It's a command that is more of an absolute. Children, you are obligated to obey your parents. Boy, I tell you, I need someone to help shout me down this morning a little better. Open the coffee shop back up or do something, amen. See, now the word obey here, I'm not gonna give you the Greek word, but let me show you this, because when you see the word obey, you just see it and you're going, oh, I knew we were gonna get this. But let me break it down in the Greek, what that word obey. It was really, that word obey in the Greek consisted of two words, not just one word obey. It was two words. It was the word hear and under. It means to hear, literally to hear under. It means to, that means literally, it literally meant to listen attentively to hear under. It means to really, really listen to what your parent or parents are saying to you and do what they have requested of you. That's what it literally means. Because the reality is we live in a culture that has selective hearing. Okay, so I'm gonna ask the parents, because I'm not getting much shouts from the younger ones right now, but how many of you ever had your child have selective hearing? Okay, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You will when you become a great parent. You will know this. I promise you'll get it. You'll get it. I mean, it's amazing that mom or dad can say, could you clean your room? Take out the trash, and they can't hear that. How come you're not? Well, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Could you go dump the garbage? I didn't hear. That's the third time. I didn't hear you. I mean, they don't hear that, but they can hear two doors down the hall while they're sitting in the kitchen. They can hear their phone vibrate in their bedroom. And that means it's like Pavlov's dog. Ding! I mean, man, it's like Pavlov's dog. You start saying, "Where's my phone? Where's my phone? I gotta find my phone. Where's my phone?" You can be in the basement and hear it chime upstairs. Oh, my phone. Somebody's one of my friends. I'm gonna miss one of my friends. Isn't it amazing how we just want to hear the things we really want to hear? What he's saying here is that you hear under and you listen attentively. Now, before you go, yeah, that's right, Pastor, tell my child, Dad, I know you're 56 years old, but are you hearing under the Lord and not being selective about parts of the Word of God and saying, I'll listen to this part, but I don't like this part because it's requiring too much of me? So if we say they don't listen to me, could they be getting it honest? Because I only am selective about, yeah, this part of the scripture, but not this part of the scripture. We've got to listen under. So not only listen to your parents' counsel, But here's what I would tell you. You want to be a great parent one day? You want to be a great person with blessed? Go seek out the godly counsel of your parents. Don't just get the counsel. Go ask their opinion of things. Even as you get older, ask their opinion. Ask them. And parents, can I just give you a word that's really helped me and I know it'll help you? Listen, your kids, I promise you, your kids will be a whole lot more prone to listen if you'll listen to them. And I know, listen, I know you want to roll your eyes. I can hear you rolling your eyes. But I promise you, they are more prone to listen if you will listen attentively, even to their frustration for a moment, and just let them talk for a minute. They will be a whole, I mean, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? We spend the first 12 months with our kids trying to get them to walk and talk, and then we use the last 12 years to tell them to sit down and shut up. Isn't that amazing? Say something. Go, 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 go. Say something. Hear, listen, and give a listening ear to them about some of the things. And I know sometimes we get so busy. I'm a very, very busy person. But sometimes I just got to stop and sit down, even to my kids that are adults, right? You know, my son's raising a family, to stop and just listen. That maybe I just need to stop and just, I know it may not be the most important thing to me, but it is to them. Just to stop and listen. And parents, when you start listening and you give them the permission to talk, even with things they might disagree with, but to hear it first, don't wig out when they come to you with some serious stuff. Because I've seen parents wig out. Mom, dad, they feel safe, and then all of a sudden they make themselves vulnerable, and then you wig out. Dad, I've been this came on my phone, and I've been watching this. And I watch parents, some of them just wig out. Oh my goodness, oh dear Jesus, help us. You pervert, God, get the spirit of perversion off this kid. And you start casting out demons. No, don't wig out when they want to talk to you about something they are internally struggling with. Walk the scripture with them. Hear them attentively, because I'm discovering something, that people are more prone to listen if you'll listen to them just for a minute. Can somebody say amen? Amen. But kids, let me go back to this. He says, but always obey. Let's say that word with me. Always obey. Always obey. Now, let me just put a little caveat on this, okay? God is not requiring children to obey if a request from a parent is ungodly and it's unbiblical. It says to obey your parents in the Lord, in the will of the Lord. If it's some ungodly request, say, you know, that's not the word of God, and that if they're, that's ungodly, whether it's a parent, whether it's a step parent, that is an ungodly request. It's unbiblical. God is not asking that, but God is asking you to obey them in the Lord. A request, believe me, it's not demonic and it's not Satan speaking to you, speaking through them when they say you got to clean your room. Amen. Can I get an amen from home? Can I get an amen from home? Amen, right there, amen. Because here's the deal about us. Here's the deal about you and me as human beings. We are not born with a propensity to obey. I was not born with an obedient heart. Sam Reifkogel was born with a disobedient heart, and my first word I learned was no. Because I've discovered people don't need to be taught how to disobey. But we do need to be taught how to obey. You are never taught how to disobey. It comes naturally. It is the nature. It is the carnal nature. See, because how many know you are born with a will, but you are also born with a won't. And that won't, every time it challenges you to come under, to listen under, even as a child of God. Listen, see, there's some of us in this room. Remember, you're a child of the Most High God. You can be born with an I will or an I won't. You don't just obey your parents only when you think it's right or it fits your desire. You obey them as in the Lord. Now, let me just say that. Let's talk about being selective. So let's not put it just to the kids. You're 62 years old, but you are disobeying God on how to forgive someone and how to love somebody right now. You're disobeying God as it relates to your finances. You're disobeying God on how you're treating your husband or your wife. You're 62-year-old lady and you're disobeying God on how to treat your wife. So let's just say this. What if, because you don't desire it or it doesn't feel right, what if Jesus obeyed his heavenly Father in every single detail he asked him, but he says, God, there's just this one. I don't think I want them beating me, and I don't think I want them putting nails through my hands and my feet. I'm going to opt out of that one. I'm going to opt out of that one, God. Do you understand the mess that you and I would be in and the world would be in if Jesus obeyed everything the Father said, but he said, on this one, if you just let me get out on this one. How many of you know God's asking for you and me to give him total obedience to his word and total obedience to his will? Why? So that the blessing of the Father can come upon us. And I've discovered something. Have you ever noticed, all of us in this room, have you ever noticed that if you were always leading yourself by an I won't, I won't, I won't, did you ever notice that sooner or later you had to learn, somebody made you learn to obey? Oh yeah. Let me help you out here. Young people, there is a magical date that happens for all employed people, a magical date. It's called April 15th. Am I right? It's a magical date. And if I decide I don't like the government's magical date of April 15th, I will eventually find myself in jail. One day, you get to enjoy the special holiday of April 15th. Eventually, how many know we got to learn to obey? Okay? There are magical things that you're going to learn. Somehow later, you can learn it hard, or you're going to learn it easy and give yourself to it. It's kind of like going down here off Kinawa. Y'all know where Steak and Shake is? How many know where Steak and Shake is? Okay, sure. We're Pentecostal. We know where it is. Steak and Shake, take a right down there on Kinawa. There is a magical sign up there that says speed limit 40 miles an hour. I used to not pay attention to that sign. They've raised it, you know, it was what, 30, 35, and then went to 40. It was really nice of them to do that because Sam Reifkel just couldn't do 35. But there's a magical number up there, and sooner or later, if you want to just blow past that 40 mile an hour and you say, hey, I just want to do my thing because I've got my rights, I got a car, you go ahead and roll right by it. But there's that one officer that sits there right where they have that little storage area. He sits right over by that tree. By the way, he's there, so just giving you a heads up, pastor trying to help you out. Bless you here, amen. He will nail you for your disobedience. But if you'll follow that magical number of 40, you get to keep your driver's license, and you get to go anywhere you want to go in Grand Rapids. Blessing comes on your life. Oh, no, but if you want to go blow it, that's fine. That's fine. We got a great bus system here in the city. We can retread your shoes. It's no problem. But when you obey, there's incredible freedoms and blessings that come into your life. How am I preaching, everybody? Because obedience always pays off, folks. It always pays off. Why? Why will it pay off? Young people, why will it pay off? Because one day you are going to be the parents and you will teach your children the same things that God taught you through your parents, to always obey your parents. Do you know what I've discovered in leadership? Now that I've been, you know, I've turned 60, I'm starting to learn some things. I woke up Pastor Sam 6.0, and I'm telling you, the upgrades just happened like that. I'm telling you, I just started, brilliance started coming to me. But here's what I've discovered, that the best teachers in life were the best learners in life. Every one of them. The best leaders I have, listen, I have discovered in my journey, by and large, this is true, the people that I see that are the best parents, that I said, that they are good parents, and I watched their life, you know what I discovered? They were great children. They were kids that knew how to obey their parents. And that started coming in. And some of the best parents, by and large, that I have met has come a result of kids who were the best kids that learned how to be obedient to God. And I've seen some of the best leaders that I've had around me are individuals that they were obedient to their parents as in the Lord. So how do we bless the Lord? How do we please the Lord? By heeding our parents, by obeying them. And it's not just heeding your parents. How many know there is a component of honoring your parents? Let's look at this. How do I honor your parents? What does that mean? Obedience. When I obey, it actually honors our parents and it pleases the Lord. It's not just enough to obey your parents. You got to give honor to your parents. Now, what does that honor mean? It means to give someone respect for who they are and their office. And there's a big difference between obedience and honor, everybody. A big difference. Here's obedience. Obedience is an outward. It's outward. But honor is something that has happened inward to you. Obedience is that I'm acting right and I'm behaving right. But honor means my attitude has changed. Because you can get people that can do all the right things, but inside of them, their hearts are so turned against God and their attitude is one of dishonor. They can be obedient, but inside they have an attitude of dishonor. Their attitude is wrong and it's going to surface somewhere in their job, in their family, in their relationship. It does surface. And the time's going to come for those of you that are living under your parents' house. The time is going to come when you are no longer required to obey your parents because you're living on your own. You have your own family. But I will tell you, there will never come a time where you are not required to honor your parents. Never come a time. When you're young, you obey. As you get older, you learn to honor. Now, I know some of us, when we're saying this, some of you are going, but Pastor, this is so hard for me when you talk about this because some of you had bad parents. You had bad parents. And I may be speaking to someone here where you had a father who was cruel, insensitive, may have abused you. Or perhaps you had a mother who was unloving, never told you were lovely, never said you were beautiful, never said proud of you, may even knew about the abuse that was occurring, but kept her silence. And now, Pastor, you tell me as a 62-year-old man, you're telling me as a 71-year-old woman that I got to honor that person that was like that? How many thank God that the Word of God never shies away from tough problems? Never shies away. Here's the deal about honor. Have you noticed that God is not selective about his instructions to us? Okay, well, you can, but you don't have to. You can behave this way, but you can behave where you want. How many know God is not selective? This is his command to bring blessing on us. You say, Pastor, how do I do that? I like something Pastor Kerry said last week. Y'all enjoyed Pastor Kerry preaching last week, amen? I love when Pastor Kerry gets to preach for us. You say, how do I do this? He said something, the only way that you can fulfill as a husband or wife, the directives of God is you have to be walking in the Spirit of God. The only way that you can do this, if you came out of that background, is you have to be so full of the Holy Spirit of God that is in you. And it's the only way you can forgive someone that ever took you through that. It's by the Spirit of God. And it's only through the Holy Spirit that you have the power to forgive, not just your parents, but some of you just got to forgive some people. Some of you may be preachers. So many people you work with. It's only way you can be free by the Spirit is to forgive by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the only way that can ever happen. Now listen, forgiveness, folks, is a choice. But when you say the word forgiveness, here's what so many people think. Forgiveness does not mean you forget. Because you can never forget what someone who abused you or was cruel to you. You do not forget that. So I'm not telling you to forget it. I'm not telling you to trivialize it. I'm not telling you to sweep it under the rug because it's impossible to sweep under the rug. It doesn't mean you erase history of the abuse that happened to you. It doesn't mean you make excuses. Well, they were just raised the same way. No, it's not excuses. It doesn't mean that you don't set boundaries. There are some people that love Jesus, who've been in my life, and they have done things toward me. I forgive them, but I know where to set the boundaries. It's okay to set the boundaries. You don't have to fellowship 24/7 to prove that you've forgiven them. That's a weak amen, but I'll take it. Amen. It doesn't mean you don't, it doesn't mean you trivialize. It doesn't mean you just, no. Here's what forgiveness says, and I've told you this, I'm gonna say it over and over, because I'm telling you, what we struggle with the most is forgiving people that have done us wrong. And here's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness means relinquishment of that offender to God. You release that dad, you release that abuse prayer, you release that, maybe that step parent, and you release them to God. Because here's what happens, and you can only be done by getting deeper in relationship with the Lord and the power, crying out to God for his power in this. And I'm telling you, I've seen it happen time and time again where people have gotten free. Can somebody say amen to that if you've ever seen anybody get free from that? Because here's what it says, and remember what I said several months ago, and I felt the Holy Spirit say it again, say it again. You must remember, forgiveness means I give up whatever power that person holds on me. And if that person is robbing your joy and it's robbing your faith, they still have power over you. They control your emotions, they control your attitude, they control everything, and I refuse to allow anybody to have that power over me, and the only way I can do it is to relinquish that offender to God and say, God, you can do a much better job than I can. You can put events in their life, you can put things in their life, because they are not going to have power over my joy in life. They will not, and I refuse, and it's only be done by the Spirit. You can't get this by just watching some Tony Robbins video and some self-help. Just think happy thoughts. It's going to get better. No, relinquish them to God. And it can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sure, there's good counseling. Sure, you got to have believers that process. Sure, you got to walk people that walk with sorrow with you. But it's the only way it can happen, friends. Because sometimes what you have to do is you have to look at that person and say, I honor the office of a father. I honor the office of a mother. And that's what you can honor. It's being civil, not signing off on it, not erasing the history, but say, God, I release them to you, and I will continue releasing them. I will, if I have to have a conversation, I'll have a conversation, but I'm releasing them to you. If I've got to set a boundary, but I'm releasing them to you. They will not have a grip on my joy, my attitude, or my future, because they're your problem, God, not mine. And when you can honor the office of what that person carries, the office, even when you disagree and know they had sinful actions, you will be so free to honor an office. Because here's what happens. Obedience and honor releases the blessing of God into your life. There's some folks, I'm gonna tell you, although I put boundaries, I respect them. I honor an office. But I'm telling you, I release them to the Lord. Ephesians 6, I'm gonna close with this one. You ready for this? Here's Ephesians 6. Let's go to this one. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord before you belong to your parents. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. This is something that we don't teach much in our culture. We've lost it in our culture. We're losing in America. Why? Because we're losing in families. We're losing in families. So we have an honor, respect. Do you remember in Mark chapter 6 where Jesus came into that town? Here's the Son of God, God Almighty, that can raise the dead. And he goes into his own hometown and he can do no miracles. And you remember why? It said because he says a prophet is without honor in his own hometown and his household. And he could perform no miracles. No blessing could come on the people because there was dishonor. And they murdered him. They eventually murdered him. No honor. And the blessing, and God could not do miracles. If dishonoring Jesus hindered that town from receiving the miracles and the blessing, could dishonor and dishonoring parents be hindering you from being blessed and prospered by God. If dishonoring Jesus stopped blessings, could dishonor in our own lives be hindering you from being blessed and doing great things for God? How many of you know, friends, I want to take the cap, the lid off of me, and I say, God, help me to honor the office of even that person right there, the office of a mother or a father. I'm telling you, friends, obedience and honor releases blessings in your life. I just want to close with this. How many of you remember Danny Robinson, my friend that came and preached for me on my anniversary? How many of you remember Danny Robinson? And his wife Beverly was here. The Lord brought that back to me because some of you may have forgotten it. Because there's a lot of people in here that may have, and watching online, that you have experienced abuse by someone. And it could have been a mother or a father or a family member. And again, understand what I say. Doesn't mean you don't set boundaries. Doesn't mean you have conversations. Doesn't mean that's not saying. That's not what it means. But it does mean at some point you've got to release them to God. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit and breaking before God. But maybe you forgot the story of his wife, Beverly. Beverly's dad was very abusive to her. Very abusive to her. And Beverly carried that all her teen years. And it started into her early adult years. And Beverly gave her life to Jesus Christ. Someone led her to the Lord. And the more that she started coming, encountering the principles of the kingdom of God, she realized this issue of forgiveness. But she had a struggle because her father was so abusive to her. How in the world could I ever, ever honor this person? Abusive. And then she said, I finally realized that God said, I don't condone what he did. I don't want to come, and I will deal with sin. God deals with sin. Folks, God deals with sin. Nobody gets away with nothing with God. They may think they're getting away with it on this planet Earth, but nobody gets away with it. Not you, not me, nobody. Nobody. And God says, I want you just to honor the office that I created of a father. And he showed her, set the boundaries, have the conversations, but you release him. And she did. She said it was a process, took time. It was a process. It wasn't this snap deal, just prayed and it's gone. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It took time. And she did. It was so dramatic because nobody gets away with nothing. And when you think they don't know, God's dealing with them, folks. Don't you ever think. And they can put on all these faces and everything. Oh, no, God's dealing with them. And he watched her. And how she was able to honor the office of her dad was so powerful that it started changing her father. So powerful. Her ministry flourishes like crazy. She's a pastor in her church, flourishing. Unbelievable, her ministry flourishing. You met her when she was here. But what happened was 3 weeks before her daddy died, 3 weeks before he died, he was so transformed by what God had done in her, because he knew what he did, that he asked his daughter to lead him to Jesus Christ 3 weeks before he dropped dead. She ended up leading her dad to the Lord. Think about that. But the whole process, she was getting free. God was still dealing with him. And he was so transformed by what God was doing in her. He said, if God can do it in my daughter, he can do it in me. And she led him to Jesus Christ 3 weeks before he died. Come on, friends. How many believe blessing comes on people when they obey and honor God?